الحمد لله رب العالمين الذي خلق الأفلاك والأرضين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله الطيبين وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ صدق اللہ العظیم وصدق رسوله النبی الامین الکریم. ایک مرتبہ بآواز بلند درود شریف کا نذرانہ پیش کرے. اللہم صلی علی سیدنا نبینا مولانا محمد معدن الجود والکرم ومن بین العلم والحلم والحکم وعلی آلہ وصحبہ وبارک وسلم. اپنی عقیدت کا اظہار کرتے ہوئے ایک مرتبہ اور بآواز بلند درود شریف کا نذرانہ پیش کرے. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد معدن الجود والكرم وعلى اله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. اس طرح درود شریف پڑھے کہ مسجد گونج جائے. عید میلاد النبی کے موقع پہ آپ لوگ ایک مرتبہ اور تیسری مرتبہ بآواز بلند درود شریف پیش کریں. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد معدن الجود والكرم وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی سینٹ سیدنا جبریل علیہ السلام ٹو رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم اینڈ told the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah has given permission to perform hijrah for the armed Muslimin to Medina Munawwara, and therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the sahaba ikram in Makkah Mukarrama that in small groups you shall now leave Makkah Mukarrama and go to Medina Munawwara. So now sahaba ikram began to gather what they could, and they left their homes, they left their businesses, they left majority of their belongings, and they left Makkah Mukarrama and traveled towards Medina Munawwara. All the sahaba ikram secretly left Makkah Mukarrama because the kuffar, the mushrikeen of Makkah, they were now adamant that they wanted to kill the Muslims. So at that time the permission came for the sahaba ikram, so they all began to leave. All the sahaba ikram left. Sayyiduna Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, he had a unique hijrah because his hijrat towards Medina Munawwara was different to all the other sahaba ikram. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered Sayyiduna Umar al-Faruq radiyallahu ta'ala an that you must also leave Makkah Mukarrama and you must also go to Medina Munawwara, I have not yet received permission, I will stay but I am ordering you to leave. So Sayyiduna Umar al-Faruq radiyallahu ta'ala an, upon the order of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had to leave Makkah Mukarrama. So when he was prepared, he put his armor on, he took his sword, he took his bow and arrow, and he, with his weaponry, went to the Kaaba in broad daylight. When everyone was secretly in the night leaving for Medina Munawwara, Sayyiduna Umar al-Faruq radiallahu ta'ala in broad daylight goes to the Kaaba with all his weaponry, and he does the tawaf of the Kaaba, and then he comes to the maqam of Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam. He performs salah and then he stands in front of the Kaaba and he says, O people of Makkah, O people of Makkah, know that I, Umar, am doing hijrah to Medina Munawwara. Who from amongst you has the courage to stop me? I am showing you and announcing that I am leaving to Medina. Stop me if you can stop me. But know that you can only come forward to stop me if you are prepared to make your wife a widow, to make your children orphans. If you are prepared for that, then come in front of me and stop me from going to Medina Munawwara. Nobody came forward. Even Abu Jahl was there, but he could not step forward. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, with full might and courage, left Makkah Mukarramah and went towards Medina Munawwara. Sayyidina Amirul Mu'mineen Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, he kept asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have you received permission? Have you received permission? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept saying, not yet, not yet. Wait, you wait here as well. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was told to stay behind. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that maybe I will do hijrah with you. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was extremely pleased, because he did not want anything more than to do hijrah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then came the day when the people of Makkah, the mushrikeen of Makkah, the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and even those non-Muslims who were not the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they had not accepted Islam, they all gathered together in Darun Nadwa to discuss how to stop Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from propagating this deen and leaving Makkah Mukarramah. So they gathered together, and whilst they were having their conference, somebody knocked on the door. When they looked, it was an old man who had a shawl covering his upper body. They asked him, who are you? And he said, I am a sheikh from Najd. And this was Iblis, this was Shaitan. This was Shaitan who came in the form of a human. He said, I have come from Najd and I would like to enter your conference and I would like to give you advice on how to stop Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they invite him in. They all sit together, they all give different ideas. But Shaykh Najd, he rejects all the ideas. And then he whispers into Abu Jahl's mind, and Abu Jahl says that I have an idea that none of you has mentioned before. They said, what is your idea? So Abu Jahl said that what we will do is we will choose a young and strong man from each tribe, and he will take a sword and they will go outside the home of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he goes to sleep at night, they will enter into his home and they will all strike like the striking of one man, meaning they will all strike together and they will kill Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In that way, the Bani Hashim will not be able to take revenge of the death of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ma'adallah. And therefore, we will pay them qisas, we will pay them the compensation, and they will be happy with that. In that way, we can stop Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from leaving Makkah or further propagating this religion of Islam. So now, these people agreed and they all left and they went home. Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam came and told the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this is what has happened. This is the decision that the mushrikeen of Makkah have made, and they will come to kill you tonight. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now given you permission to do hijrah and leave tonight for Medina Munawwara. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala's house in the daytime and told Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq that Allah has now given me permission. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu and said, Ya Rasulullah, sahba, as-sahba, as-sahba. Ya Rasulullah, I want to come with you. I want to come with you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, sahba, ya Abu Bakr. You will come with me, O Abu Bakr. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went back to his home. When he goes to his home, remember, now he has no Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. Now there is no Abu Talib to comfort Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But now Allah has given Asadullah Sayyiduna Ali ibn Abi Talib to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the only person in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sayyiduna Ali, Ke Ali, you will sleep in my bed tonight. And this green shawl, or this green duvet, cover yourself with this green shawl. This is the shawl that I sleep in. This is what I cover myself every night I sleep. If you cover yourself with this green shawl, then nothing will harm you from outside. So cover yourself with this shawl. And in the morning, you will distribute all these amanat, all these things that are the belongings of others. Give them to them people, and then come to Makkah Mukarrama after 3 days. Come to Medina Munawwara after 3 days. So Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala, he sleeps in the bed of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The mushrikeen of Makkah have surrounded the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam comes. And he reveals the verses of Surah Yasin. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِهِمْ سَدَّا, that we have covered their backs from their fronts, they can't see. وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدَّا, and from behind. So we have covered the front, we have put a barrier, we have put a veil at the front of them and at the back of them, so they cannot see anything. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam said, recite these verses on this earth, this sand, and when you open your door, throw it onto these people. So Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the night, when Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala is lying down on his bed, he leaves, opens the door, and he recites these verses and he throws this sand onto the mushrikeen that are standing there, the young strong men of the mushrikeen of Makkah. They don't even realize that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opened the door. They don't even know he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out and he left and he closed the door. They didn't even realize. This was what from the mu'jizat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left. And he met Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had already advised him to meet. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala had told his servant Ibn Fahira that you will meet us 3 days later in such and such a place outside Makkah Mukarramah. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had paid this man called Abdullah, who was an expert in the routes outside Makkah Mukarramah. He was not a Muslim, but the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time trusted him and knew that he would honestly take the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his destination. So he paid him, gave the two camels of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala to him and told him that 3 days later meet us in that such and such a place. Then Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they start to leave Makkah Mukarramah. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala at the beginning carried Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his back. He carried him on his back because wherever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his blessed feet, his foot print would be established on the earth. The earth would make a place for the blessed feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the kuffar, the mushrikeen of Makkah, would have been able to track that. For that reason, he lifts Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his back and they leave Makkah Mukarramah. Now Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala struggles and strives. And this good deed of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala is such that when once Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha asked that who has the most good deeds, is there anyone who has the same amount of deeds as the stars in the sky? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, Sayyidina Umar. Umar has that many good deeds. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha asked that, ya Rasulullah, what about Abu Bakr, my father? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that one good deed of hijrah that Abu Bakr did is beyond all the good deeds of Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala. So you can imagine this struggling and striving because Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala carried Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through thorns and stony land where the feet of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala became unwell and became hurt. He had cuts in his feet, but he carried on going, carrying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his back. And then they came to a place where they started walking together. When they were walking together, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala would walk on the right. And then he would come in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he would come on the left. And then he would walk behind. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Abu Bakr, Ma Baluk, what has happened to you? Why are you sometimes on your right, sometimes in the front, sometimes on the left, sometimes behind? Why don't you walk in one place? Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, if the kuffar or the mushrikeen come from the left, then I want to be on the left and fight them off and protect you from them. If they come from the right, then I want to be on the right. If they come from before us, then I want to be there. In that way, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala wanted to protect Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And then they came to this cave Jabal Thawr, to the Jabal, to the cave of the Ghari Thawr. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped there, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala went inside. And we've all heard about this Ghari Thawr. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala went inside. He cleaned the place. He covered the holes with his blessed cloth. He ripped all his cloth into pieces and covered all the holes. And then he cleaned it, and then he invited Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come inside. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came inside, and then he rested his blessed head on the lap of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Whilst they were inside, wild pigeons came by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they made a nest, and they laid eggs in them nests, and branches of trees grew from the earth suddenly by the mu'jiza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and spiders built their homes, their webs, in a matter of moments, so that if somebody from outside came, they would see that nobody could have possibly gone into this cave recently because of all this that's covering the whole of the cave. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala saw that there was one hole that was uncovered. So he raised his foot and he placed his foot or his heel or his thumb inside that hole whilst the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting. And then there was a snake that bit Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala many a times from that hole. But he did not move his blessed foot. He did not move his blessed foot. And he remained like that until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up in the morning. In one narration it says that Sayyidina Abu Bakr's eyes started shedding tears, and then tears fell on the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he awoke. What has happened? He saw the wound on the blessed feet of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and them feet that are the crowns of all the believers today. Them blessed feet of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam removed his blessed saliva and placed it onto the feet of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Allah Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala says that protecting your life, saving your life, is the ahammul furuz. It is the most important thing in your life. Up to the extent that if you need to protect your life, then it is permissible to say the words of kufr with your tongue as long as your heart is on iman, in order to protect your life. But Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala sacrificed his life because a bite from the poison of a snake can kill you. He knew that, but he sacrificed his life for just the rest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just so that he doesn't disturb the blessed resting of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Hazrat says ke Siddiq balke ghar mein ja un pe de chuke aur hifze ja to ja furuze ghurr ki hai, sabit hua ke aslul usul bandagi ustajwar ki hai. Yani the rest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and serving the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so important. But when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his blessed saliva on his feet became cured. And that poison came back near the ending of the life of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. It vanished until the time of the death of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala after his khilafah, and that poison was the reason why he passed away. And the reason why that happened is Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala wanted to sacrifice his life for the blessed sleep and rest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam temporarily cured that poison so that it would come back. And after Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala has lived his life and completed his mission, then he would die with that good deed of protecting the sleep and resting of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala's daughter Sayyida Asma radiallahu anha, she would come quietly in the night to bring food and drink. The servant of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, he would also come, Ibn Fahira. He would also come and he would bring clothing and food and drink for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. They stayed in that cave for 3 days. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, they stayed in that cave for 3 days. And whilst they stayed there, the people of Makkah, they looked for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu everywhere. All around the outskirts of Makkah Mukarramah, they couldn't find Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq and Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once they came near the cave, and in the narrations it says they came very close, that it was possible that they could see, if it wasn't for the branches and the nest of the wild pigeons and the webs of the spiders that were there. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala at that time felt a bit of fear, because he thought, what if I cannot protect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses regarding that. إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq that, oh Abu Bakr, don't fear. Don't fear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. مَا رَأْيُكَ فِثْنَيْنِ ثَالِثُهُمَ اللَّهِ. What do you have to say, oh Abu Bakr, about those two people whose third is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Don't worry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. They came really close to the cave, but Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala says, ke jaan hai jaan kya nazar aaye, jaan hai jaan kya nazar aaye, kyo adu gird-e-ghar phirte hai. Why are they roaming around the cave? He is the life, he is the essence of creation, he is the essence of humanity. How would you be able to see the essence of humanity, the essence of life? They were not able to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the people of Makkah failed and they left. They had announced that whoever brings Muhammad back to Makkah, we will give them 100 of the best camels in Makkah Mukarramah. So now individual people started taking weapons with them, riding on their camels and their animals, leaving Makkah Mukarramah to search for Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But everybody failed. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, after 3 days, meet with the servant Ibn Fahira and the person that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had paid as a guide to guide the path to Madinah Munawwara. Abdullah was his name. They met with them. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got onto his camel, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala on his camel, and they rode off towards Madinah Munawwara. Now the path that they took was not the normal route to Medina. They took the hardest of all paths. It was a path that men had not walked on before. So you can imagine how hard it was to travel in that path. But they traveled in that path, and at that time when they were going, Suraqah ibn Malik had come. Suraqah himself narrates that I was sitting with my tribe when a man came and he said, I saw Muhammad and Abu Bakr traveling towards Medina. And Suraqah said, no, it must be somebody else. You must have seen somebody else from such and such a tribe. They've lost their relative. They're probably looking for him. It's not him. And then he quietly went home. He says, I quietly went home. I told my servants to get my horse ready and my weapons. And then I sat on my horse and I went off to the place that he said. So then I came and I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with Abu Bakr Siddiq and the servant of Abu Bakr Siddiq and Abdullah. I saw all four of them going towards Madinah Munawwara. I came closer and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not look back, but somehow he came to know. So Raqqa didn't know at that time that this Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is he who can see ahead in the same, who can see behind in the same way as he looks ahead. After the night of Mi'raj, his eyesight was so powerful. Imagine the eyesight of Sayyida Safura radiallahu anha when she saw the glimpse of the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the eyes of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so many times, you can only imagine how strong his eyesight was. Now, front, back, left, right didn't mean anything to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only that, the past, the present and the future was all one for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's eyesight. He himself used to say, okay, now in this place that I am standing, I can see that after the day of judgment, you Sahaba Ikram of mine, I am giving you the drink of Kawthar into your hands. So he was seeing that in the present time, yani he was seeing the future. Yani Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's eyesight does not differentiate between the past, present and the future. Does not differentiate with that which is in front and that which is behind. He could see Suraqah and he said to the earth that, O earth, hold on to the feet of the horse of Suraqah. And the horse's feet until his knees were buried into the ground. And in one narration it says that Suraqah was on a camel. So the animal, his feet were now drowned, or they were buried into the ground, and Suraqah fell off. He fell off, he got on, he dug his animal's feet out again, and then he rode again. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered the earth to capture his feet again. And it happened three times. In one narration it says it only happened once. But then Suraqah shouted that, "O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let me go. Let me go. I assure you that I will not do any harm to you. And not only that, I will go back and I will move all the people that are coming towards you and tell them that he is not in this path. He is not to be seen. Let me go." And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the mercy. He was a mercy for all mankind. His mercy allowed him to let him go. And Suraqah came and he said, "O Muhammad, write a letter of aman for me, of protection for me." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those people who say he can't write, in this narration it says he himself wrote a letter of aman for Suraqah ibn Malik. And Suraqah took that piece of material and he took it with him and went to Makkah. The other people that were going towards Medina to look for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told them that don't bother going, he's not there. So they all left and they went back to Makkah Mukarramah. Suraqah ibn Malik, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said to him, he accepted Iman after Fath Makkah. Sayyiduna Suraqah ibn Malik, he accepted Iman after Fath Makkah, after the Hunayn and Taif. After that he came and he accepted Iman. After he accepted Iman, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Suraqah, that, "O Suraqah, how will that day be when Islam conquers Iran and the bracelets of the king of Kisra are handed over to you, O Suraqah?" And Suraqah was extremely pleased at that. And he was waiting for that time. And he knew that until that does not happen, he will not die. And in the time of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, the Muslim army took over Iran. And they took over Kisra. And the bracelets of Kisra came to Medina Munawwara in the hands of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. And he called for Suraqah. Suraqah came and he said, "I remember very well that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you will be given these bracelets." And he handed them bracelets to Suraqah ibn Malik. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued his journey towards Medina Munawwara. Now they came to a place where this lady called Umm Ma'bad, her name was Atika ibn Binte Khalid. Atika Binte Khalid was an old woman. She used to have a tent and she used to sell food and drink to the travelers that used to pass by. So Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw her and he requested, or he wished to buy something from her. So he went to her and he said to Umm Ma'bad that, "Do you have any food and drink that I can pay you for?" She said, "We have nothing. We have run out of everything. Our animals have left. I have nothing now, no food at all." The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that behind the tent of Umm Ma'bad, there was a goat there. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, "What about that goat?" So Umm Ma'bad said that goat in the udder means the breast of the goat, there is no milk, it's dried, the udders are dried, there's nothing there. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Give me permission, I will take the milk of that goat." Umm Ma'bad said, "Go and try if you want, but I assure you there's no milk there. We've tried many a times." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes and he strokes the goat. And then he asks for a container to be brought. And then he says, "Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim." And suddenly this goat becomes healthy and the udders are full of milk. And milk starts to pour out from this goat. One container is filled, another container is brought, that is also filled. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stops and he says, "Give one to Umm Ma'bad." She takes one. When she sees all of this milk, she says, "How did you do this?" Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "La ilaha illallah, inni Rasulullah. There is none worthy of worship and I am the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who gives milk to animals. He is the one who gives life to all." Sayyida Umm Ma'bad radiallahu anha at that point says, "Ashhadu annaka Muhammadan Rasulullah. I bear witness that you Muhammad are the Messenger of Allah. La ilaha illallah. There is none worthy of worship but Allah." She says in one narration that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also rested in her tent. When he rested and he woke up, she gave a bit of water to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He drank that water and he came out of the the tent, and he did kulli, he gargled with some water and he spat it out on his side. She says that in that very place where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spat the water out, the next day we saw that a tree had grown. A tree had grown with fruit in one day. She says that we knew that this was the blessing of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She says that that fruit was such that it was sweeter than any fruit we had ever tasted. If a hungry person ate that fruit, then he would fill his stomach. If a thirsty person ate that fruit, then he would quench his thirst. If a person who was unwell ate from that fruit, then his illness would go. People from far and far distant places used to come just to eat the fruit of that tree. And that tree did not finish until one day, after 10 years, when we heard that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed away, that tree also finished. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued towards Madinah Munawwara. Now came a group, a massive group, like an army of 70 people. It was Burayda Aslami who came with 70 people, and he came to take Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam back to Makkah. When they have come all the way near to Madina Munawwara, Burayda still did not give up. He wanted them 100 camels as a prize. So he wanted to take Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam back. There was only 4 of them, and he came with 70, and they all came and they stopped this small kafla of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am Burayda Aslami." And he said, "Who are you?" And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was looking down, and he looked up into the eyes of Burayda, and he said, "Ana Muhammad ibn Abdullah wa Rasulullah." I am Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, and I am the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he looked in the eyes of Burayda. Burayda had not seen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam before. This was the first time he looked at the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't recite the Quran, did not show him any mu'jiza. He just saw the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He saw the jalal and he saw the jamal. And upon seeing that, he fell on his knees and he said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la wa ashhadu annaka Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh." I bear witness that you are the true messenger of Allah. And he accepted Islam. And then he sat down and he spoke with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he said, "Ya Rasulullah, you are going to Medina." The messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yes, I am going to Medina." He said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam, Medina is near. How will you go to Medina just like this? Let me show you how you will enter Medina." He took his spear out and then he took his imama off. He took his turban off and he tore his turban, made it into a flag, and he put it onto his spear and he held it up high. And he said, "This is the flag of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is how we will enter Madina Munawwara with an army of 70 and Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq and Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." They all now with this flag at the front now are walking to and traveling towards Madina Munawwara. In Madina Munawwara, the people were told that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will anytime enter Madina Munawwara. Every day, the people of Medina would leave their work, leave all their responsibilities, pack some food and go outside Madina Munawwara, wait for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come. Until night, they saw that he did not come, they'd go back home. The next day, again, they would pack some food and they would come outside Medina, waiting for the Ahmad, for the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then at night they would return again. This happened for a few days, and came the 12th of Rabiul Awwal on a Monday, when at night time, near before the time of Maghrib, it was still bright, when the people of Medina started going back to their homes, that he hasn't come today. When a Yahudi, a Jew, who was standing on a hill, he saw that there is a flag and there is a bright face and there is his following that is coming towards Madina Munawwara, and he shouted, "O people of Yathrib, O people of Yathrib, he whom you are waiting for is coming towards Medina." All the people of Medina now started running back out to the outskirts of Madina Munawwara. Women, children, men started taking their weaponry, wearing their armor, and all of them running outside Madinah Munawwara. And they saw from afar that there is two men walking at the front and one carrying a flag at the front. They didn't yet know which one was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because there was a shadow, a cloud that was giving shade to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Suddenly that shade went. When that shade went, they saw this bright face, and they came into doubt that, is this Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Not all of them had seen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They still weren't sure, but when they saw that the person next to him, yani Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, took off his shawl and he covered it on the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give him shade, because Maghrib had not yet happened, the sun was still out there, to give him shade. When he took out that shawl, they knew that he is the Khadim and he is the Rasul. He is the Khadim and he is the Rasul. And then they started shouting Nara after Nara, Takbir after Takbir, and the Nara of Risalat started happening, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered into the outskirts of Madinah Munawwara to a place where Masjid Quba is today, where Quba is. He entered into Quba, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the people of Medina his blessed ziyarah. They all saw the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They all came and gave their hands into the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed at the home of Sayyiduna Kulthum ibn Hadam. He was the one who hosted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam first in Quba. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed in Quba for about 14 days, and in some narrations for 24 days. And after that, he entered into Madinah Munawwara. When he entered into Madinah Munawwara, the people of Madinah Munawwara were all out in the streets of Madinah. They had all gathered and they were all singing praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The slave women of Madinah Munawwara and the children of Madinah Munawwara, they were all singing ke tala al badru alaina min thaniyatil wada wajaba shukru alaina ma da'a lillahi da, that the bright full moon has now come to Madinah Munawwara from the hills of Thaniyat, and now it is wajib and necessary upon us to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until a man who makes dua to Allah remains on this earth. It is wajib upon us to do the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from that we can understand that on the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the milad of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why would it not be wajib upon us to do the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When the Ansar, the Sahaba-i-Kiram of the Ansar, had already said that it is wajib upon us to do the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when this was said in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nobody objected. Now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes into Madinah Munawwara. Madinah Munawwara now becomes the center of Islam. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that shan and shawkat to Islam, where step by step Allah gives victory to the Muslims and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had spread his deen all throughout the Arab world, and Madinah became the hukuma, Madinah became the capital, Madinah became the asima, Madinah became the rajdhani of Islam. And Makkah Mukarramah was also conquered by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The whole of the Arab world and all the countries around the Arab world now fell into Islam. They all accepted Islam. They were all blessed with the religion of Islam. And peace reigned throughout all these countries through the sadaqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was already the Mukhtar-e-Kul. He was already given all the powers of this world and the hereafter by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it was in Medina where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed all his power. He showed and he expressed all the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to him. Now it was such that people came and asked for whatever they wanted, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them whatever they wanted. For example, I'm just going to mention one hadith from Bukhari Sharif. Sayyiduna Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu says that Atahu rajulun وَهُوَ يَخْتُبُ بِالْمَدِينَةِ يَوْمَ الْجُمْعَةِ, that one day a man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he was delivering the khutbah on a Friday, the Jummah khutbah. And this man said, كِي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ هَلَكَ الْمَالِ وَجَاءَ الْعَيَالِ, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قحط المدينة. Medina is in a drought. There is no water. Animals are being destroyed. Children are crying of hunger and thirst. Ya Rasulullah, istasqi rabbak. Ask your Lord for water. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam looked towards the sky. Sayyiduna Anas ibn Malik says, I was there. Ma nara min sahabin. We saw not even a part of a cloud in the sky. The sky was completely clear. But when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his hands, he says, Nasha as-sahabu ba'dahu ila ba'd. We saw that cloud started appearing from all four corners of Medina, and they formed a massive grey cloud full of water on top of Medina. Wasalat hatta wa mutira hatta salat mata'ibul Medina, and it started raining and pouring with water up to the extent that all the drainage pipes and all the gutters and all the streams of Medina started flowing with water. Then Sayyiduna Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala says, the blessed beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was soaking with water. He says, ma zalat, it did not stop until the next Jummah came. It continued raining every single day. And the next Jummah came and it was still raining. And he says, qama ar-rajul, that man stood up, or another man stood up, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, ghuriqna, ghuriq al-Madina, ghuriqat al-Madina. Ya Rasulullah, we have drowned. Medina has drowned in water. Ya Rasulullah, please stop this water. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his hands into the sky, and he said, and he drew a circle in the sky, and he said, hawalayna wa ma alayna, hawalayna wa ma alayna. He said that three times. Pour around us, but not upon us. Pour around Medina, but not on Medina. And he says that we saw a hole appear in the clouds, and that hole went outside Medina. It rained outside Medina, but it did not rain in Medina. And then Sayyiduna Anas ibn Malik says, that do you know what this was? He says that when he said that we have drowned, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled, and then he raised his hand. He smiled to show that, have you seen how much power Allah has given me? Sayyiduna Anas ibn Malik says, Ke yurihumullahu karamata nabiyyi wa ijabata da'wati. This is in Bukhari Sharif. In Abwabul Istisqa, Sayyiduna Anas said that Allah was showing the people, the Muslims, and all the creation of Allah, the karamat of Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the ijabat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The life in Medina is full of the karamat and the mu'jizat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And let me tell you that today I have completed the Makki seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even that is amazing. It's amazing that somebody can mention the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just the Makki seerah, in 12 days. Because remember, the whole Quran was revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 6,666 verses of the Quran, all revealed in 23 years upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Quran is just 23 years of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If somebody was to mention the seerah, only them 23 years, that would be the whole tafsir of the Quran, and the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not finish. Not only that, the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith, there are thousands of hadith. No man can say that this is a fixed amount of hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are so many hadith that it is impossible to put a number onto the amount of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that exists. That's all part of the seerah. All the books of fiqh, they are also the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you can imagine how much seerah there is of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kehlegi sab kuch unke, sana kha ki khamoshi, chup ho raha hai ye kehkar, ke main kya kya kahu tujhe. This is the situation of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Allah gives me the tawfiq in the future, then one day inshallah, if I am alive and I am given the tawfiq, then here I will mention the seerah, the Madani seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before I finish, I would like to thank you people who invited me here. I have enjoyed my stay. You are all lovely people, and I make dua-i khair for you all. So thank you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all for inviting me here. Jazakumullahu khaira. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me if I have made any mistake. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah rabbi min kulli dhanbi wa atubu ilayhi wa ma alayna illa al-balagh.